And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I should go on. So it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
Alright, you're welcome along to the GAR. This is the Hurling Show. It's me and JJ here on a Tuesday, not the Monday as usual, but there was obviously rescheduled games. And what a game to be rescheduled, JJ. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Absolutely
stuff.
Phenomenal. Like, yeah, as a lot of people have said, they sat in to watch the game yesterday after a rough bank holiday weekend there as well. It was nice to kind of ease yourself back into your couch there as well. You can sit down, yeah, and you can relax. But phenomenal game. You had absolutely everything. Two teams that actually went at it, and they actually play very, very similar the way they actually play the game now and play through the lines, and a lot of running as well. So you'd have to admire actually what the players did. And you see lads going down a cramp near the end, but it's no surprising what they were doing. It's actually a phenomenal game.
We'll talk about the game because Shane Dowland's coming on the show in part two. We'll chat about this game with him, and we'll chat about the All Ireland Club final. But we'll focus here on the free taking competition at the end, JJ, because, yeah, like you said, nobody really wanted this game to end, except a home in my house. I'd promised Itzy that I'd do something when this match is over. So then there's a period of extra time. I have to explain, right, there's extra time now, and all you hear is, right, so I can hardly enjoy this because I'm feeling pressure. Then I had to explain to her there's another period of extra time, and then after that I had to explain. She just was gone then. That was it. Forget about the plans. Forget about
fighting
everything
for a few days. So
it was unbelievable. Now, one thing needs to be pointed out: there is no need for the second period of five each. There's no need. I think there could only have been a point or two scored. The lads were out on their feet. It was. Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, you know, a World Cup game with Italy or somebody where they're just passing it around amongst each other. Neither team wants to lose, and neither team wants to win. They're just almost like, we'll take the free taking competition.
You don't want to be the guy that makes a mistake. Yeah. I'll go away free now, or your man is going to score the winning point there as well, because every team is putting a huge amount of effort into it as well. And make no doubt about it, when you go into second period extra time, the both of them want to win it all right now. But it was just the way it finished up. I don't know, it's a 65. It kind of it wouldn't really be for me now, I'll be honest with you. The reason being that I know the players are out there, they're laughing, joking together, and they're hitting 65s over, but I would have rather seen maybe a penalty shootout, more kind of crowd interaction there as well, because is the keeper going to save it, is he going to finish it, or if not with the 65,
you're against nobody. It's not a man on man duel.
And especially it was disappointing, I suppose, when the five best lads took it, and then they got to take the second one again. I'd rather see them five, they couldn't take, so let someone else take it and step up to the mark. And one guy that probably didn't want to take it, or let him take it and see can they actually win it that way. But when they seen the same guys come up again, or kind of said, geez, would be a better way of doing it, right?
You were right, it was a complete anti-climax, as it turns out, because they were knocking them over like it was no big deal. It was so easy in the middle of the goals for 65. Now, we did see a lot of the Wexford Kilkenny lads missing, so I was thinking, like, this must be a challenge. But like yesterday, it seemed so easy for them. They walked back from taking a kind of laughing with their teammates, and like, it looked like a bit of crack. But the camera angle as well was from the side, and you didn't actually know it was gone over, and the crowd didn't know
it was gone over either, until
the umpire waved the flag. It was like, geez, there has to be, if there's a camera maybe directly behind them where you can follow the flight of the ball, that visually for the viewers on TV, that would make it an awful lot better. But for supporters, they can never get into it unless they all shuffle around to the terrace.
To the back of the goal, but the only thing is, the supporters should be looking where the ball is going, not looking at the reaction of the umpire. That's what they were doing. They're just waiting for the reaction of the umpire, and then if he's going to bend down, obviously the Limerick or the Clare supporters would clap their hands as well. But someone I was following on Twitter there again yesterday, while I made a valid point as well, look, last score wins the game or something like that, to throw it back in instead of the last 5 minutes of extra time, next score wins or something like that. It has been carbon copy for every school game up and down at lunchtime there, when the teachers come down to clap their hands, go back in, next score wins. And that would have brought a bit of excitement to the thing as well, and again probably would have made him attack a small bit more there as well. But no, it was just kind of a small bit after a fantastic game. I thought it was a small bit anticlimax to finish it off.
I think a camera like the one Sky have, you know, when you're doing it with them, and they always have one down on the pitch, and like, I mean, RT have them down there sometimes, maybe two, but if you had a cameraman in and around them following the flight of it for TV viewers now, I'm talking about, and then maybe seeing the reaction as they come back, because that looked like a bit of crack for the players. but it was definitely missing something. Like, I mean, remember the free Joe Canning got against G actually to draw up the All-Ireland over on the corner. Now if it was, if they were all over there, you might only get one out of the five. The crowd would follow the flight of it.
You could
there
see
would be an awful lot more excitement, wouldn't there? If
crowd have a better view over the sideline as well, because they'd be right behind it as well. But in the middle of the field, they couldn't get that as well. And I know what you're saying about getting the camera in around, because I'd like to see a player's face before he actually takes a 65. Then you'll actually judge. Then you can have a conversation at home and spectator. Geez, he's nervous. He doesn't fancy this, or else, geez, he's very confident going up to this now. This lad's going to score. You're just going to guess what he's going, but it wasn't. Like, again, you can't blame TG Carter. They've done a fantastic job yesterday, putting on the game.
Putting on the game, that's fair enough. But, like, I mean, they only ever have one camera. Like, their production isn't great. Like, let's call a spade a spade. Everyone always plumasses TG4, and I know their budget is very small. So, like, they're working within their means. But I do think that GEA supporters are shortchanged sometimes by TG4's lack of budget. Like, if you're going to give those big important games to them, they're going to have more money to be able to give us a better experience.
Yeah, well, I suppose coming into this game, probably no one would have thought of putting the camera behind the goal because of these 65s.
Well,
you know
true.
What I mean? So,
no, in general, I'm talking about really.
Whether from now on they will look at something like that, maybe they will, all right, but sure, again, it's in fairness, they probably put their hands up and they were the only one willing to show this game as well. And in fairness, they're turning around the place yesterday as well. They had three or four games supposed to be organised for yesterday, or on Sunday, sorry, and then they had to pack up and go back over to Limerick again, like, you know, which in fairness, a lot of other people wouldn't have done, you know.
Well, they would. They have the rights to them, they have the rights to the whole league. So, like, I mean, it's their responsibility. It's not like often they get credit for covering games that they have the rights to. Like, I mean, why would you not? This is unbelievable material and this is unbelievable content. What are they going to show if they don't go down? You know what I mean? I don't know why they get credit for showing an unbelievable quarterfinal. They probably shouldn't get that. You know, I'd say there's a lot of people that would love to have showed that game as well. John Kiley said after the game, it's not the way any, certainly not the way any person involved in hurling wants to see a match finish, taking 65s like that. It's not a way to finish a game, but it's what it is and we can't control it. Now, he, like, I mean, that's what a lot of people say after a penalty shootout in soccer. It's not a fair way. Like, you have to finish a game at some stage, and the way the GAA calendar has gone, and we'll talk about this in a second, it's an absolute mess. So imagine if there was replays involved in quarter final, semi finals, like, there'd be no April for clubs. Like, John Kiley has to realise this is the new way forward now. What I would love the GAA to do, I completely agree with the free take and I think it's great, but they need to tweak it. Maybe not the free take, like you said, into penalty shootout. I don't think they did the penalty shootout because they don't want to borrow from soccer. You know the way their minds work, JJ. But it is, penalty would be much more exciting, especially the way the penalties are now. I think they need to tweak this. They're onto a good thing, but just tweak it a little bit to make it better.
Again, I suppose they have to learn from these things as well. This is probably, I know the Kilkenny and Wexford one, but this is probably a more important one. Again, in quarter final of the league, and it comes down to a 65. You just felt sorry for the guy that missed it there yesterday as well. Like, you know,
DC missed it.
And he was supposed to try, kind of gone, and he hurled well. I mean, he'd come on the field, but obviously he's going to be remembered for the one he missed. But it's something that they can definitely look at. But I suppose, at the start of this, we didn't know what to expect when the 65s came in. We're after seeing two so far already. Well, again, can they tweak it? Yes, 100% they can, but they have to learn from these things as well.
Yeah, so good could be better.
Yeah, exactly.
A bit like my school reports when I was younger back in school.
Could try harder.
We won't talk about behaviour. The fixtures mess, JJ. We talked about this on the football show, so we have to cover it on the hurling show, and that is the fact that the league finals now for the two winning counties are being pushed into April, which is not good enough. There's too many fixtures in January, February, March. There's January early season cup competitions, there's Fitzgibbon Cup, and then there's a very, very intense league with not many weekends free. So they can talk about the snow kind of all they want and hide behind the fact that this is unforeseen kind of weather. But bad weather in these months of the year is not unforeseen. If it's not snow, usually it'll be waterlogged pitches, or there'll be some reason for games not necessarily always to go ahead. So they haven't really thought about this at all. You know, like, I mean, I think they're getting almost a pass because it's snow and we never get snow. But
it was raining, like.
Yeah, we do get terrible weather.
Yeah. But I think it's, they were hoping that they'd get a clear run of this and get straight into the couple of games for the clubs in April. And so that would keep the club players happy and that'll keep them quiet. And then go back into the, this is all about the championship. Let's not gloss over. This is about the championship hurling and getting the league in the Leinster League and the Munster League kicked off as quickly as possible, and that's why they want to get the supporters back into the stands as well, and Championship Hurling, that's all, Championship Hurling and Championship Football as well. But that's all they're doing. Again, club, it's going to be curtailed now again. We were supposed to play the 31st of March
in Club Championship.
In Club Championship, we don't know what we're going on. Kilkenny will be playing that in the semi-final, the league now, and the league should have been over at that particular stage. Now they're only playing the semi-final because Wexford and Galway have to play next weekend. So we don't know what's going to happen at the moment. We're supposed to have one in 31st of March and one on 15th of April. Again, that's up in the air. Will we play one? Will we play two? Will we play any? You don't know at the moment. You know,
it's terrible,
what I mean?
Isn't it?
When you're 2 weeks out from a championship game, and Clardy has to come into this situation as well, that again, it's very, very hard for a club team even to get practice matches these days in getting ready for a championship match because of the weather there as well, because it's just something that, look, it's worst case scenario, but it was a worst case scenario that no one ever thought would have happened. It did happen, and now we're dealing with the consequences now at the moment, and there was no plan B. That's my big gripe about this whole thing. There has to be a plan B. You have to think about the worst case scenario and do a SWOT analysis on the whole concept of these games every week, and something was bound to happen. It did, no plan B, and where are we now? Sure, we're none the wiser. We're 2 weeks away from couple of games, we don't know when we're going to be playing, you know. So
that's terrible. But even the April for clubs, so if you play two championship games in April, are there a lot of clubs then that will be out of the championship on the 15th of April?
No,
see, this is a part of my gripe. Oh, you play around
Robin.
We
play a league championship basis.
Ah, great.
So we have five championship games.
Guaranteed.
Oh,
that's great.
So you two groups of six in the senior and intermediate, and the junior is work differently. So if you finish top two, you're in the quarter final of the championship. If you finish third and fourth, you're in the first round of the championship. And if you win, you're into the quarter final. If you lose, you're finished for the year. If you finish fifth or sixth, you go into the first round of the championship. You win, you're back into the quarter final. If you lose, you're into the relegation final against the other group.
Ah, okay.
So that's the way it's worked out. So we have five championship games, but every other year we played Championship Hurling, Wicklow-Kenny, we always played four championship games during the year. Whereas this, we've two games in April, and then we don't know when the rest of them are. Kilkenny were very good now.
Right.
We always played so a week after a Kilkenny game.
There you go. Sake. So because the gaps were so big, you'd get a club championship match, and you get four every year. But now, now since they've condensed it and they give you April, you'll get two in April. So you're actually two down on what you would be on another year.
So realistically, we would be.
We're, it's gas, isn't it?
We were playing championship in April. We were back training in January. So realistically, we could play two games in April. At best, could be two games in April. We'll have the month of May off, whereas we're training in January. Realistically, it should be the other round. Should we have January off and then be training in May? But we won't be, because the championship won't be, say, for argument's sake, June, July, August. You'll be back for your championship games there again, like, you know what I mean. So you're left to be flogged for the last 3 months. We'll have May off and then go back in training again. Like, you know, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. And you wonder, like, I mean, they're obviously not have any understanding of how these things affect people on the ground. I'll have my own whinge. I had a holiday booked on the 2nd of April, and now I'm going to be gone for the review show of the hurling final. So you're going to be doing McConnon, and should nobody know, nobody wants that. Colin doesn't know one end of a hurl. I might be bad.
I'll be missing out on myself.
So listen, this nonsense has a knock-on effect on absolutely everybody here. So it's just a disaster. But the GPA have come out and have released a statement, and it's welcomed, and it's about time that they did, because I thought they were too quiet as Duffy got this Super 8s pushed through. I think he did nothing in the Super 8s to fix the huge logjam we have in January and February when it comes to Fitzgibbon and club All-Ireland semi-finals and finals and all these kind of things. Did nothing for that. And it was pushed through, and the GPA sat there and didn't. All they did was vote against it in Congress. And, like, I mean, they want a bit more. It was very obvious that players were going to be flogged with this new system. But now they've said, in 2017, over 70% of our intercounty football squads, I'm not sure why they didn't mention hurling squads there, maybe. Oh, well, I suppose it's not the Super 8s, but it's still, it's all condensed. But this, I bet you this was before the hurling structure was reformed as well. Do you remember they did the football, then got the backlash, what about the hurling?
Making
it up as they go along. So I'd say this was probably, they probably balloted their members about the football, so that's why they're saying that. Inter-county squads voted against the revised fixture schedule, which was subsequently passed at GAA Congress. This condensed calendar season has little or no contingency for adverse weather conditions or suitable periods for rest and recovery of our amateur players. In the interests of welfare of our members, the GPA feels it is something the GAA needs to review. So that's pretty strong stuff from the GPA, saying that the GAA need to review this Super 8 calendar. The Super 8, I keep saying Super 8. Super 8 is football, but also the hurling calendar is now the championships, Leinster, Munster on league. So that's all been condensed, more games. I suppose in a way that's what they want. But the huge mess in both hurling and football now is in January, February, March. Yeah. There's too many overlapping competitions and too many players being dragged in all directions. Offaly had a huge performance yesterday, JJ, against your own county. Last year, Kilkenny won this one 6-20 to 14 points.
Yeah.
So are Kilkenny going backwards or are Offaly on the way up? It might be a combination of both. But the whole thing was, maybe we don't criticise Kilkenny for going backwards because they could be at the same level. Let's give Offaly the credit for coming up a bit closer.
Yeah, they were very good yesterday as well. Big forward unit, all over 6'2", 6'3". Guys are big hurlers as well. Like, you know, and they got a goal just with, they played with the wind in the first half. They got a goal just before half time. That kind of crowned it. Went in 1-10 to 10 points up at half time. Kilkenny had a rattle at them the first 10 minutes, but they replied with him again and Offaly came back fighting. And only for TJ and Walter Welsh, again, Walter now, in fairness, having a fantastic year. He stepped up to the mark again and got a point near the end. But only for two guys stepping up, it could have been a different story, you know, that kind of way. So it was very, very encouraging. I heard Tullamore was absolutely hopping as well, and Offaly Sports getting behind him too, which is huge. And you need them guys coming back as well, but Offaly management are doing a fantastic job this year so far.
It's a weird one with Offaly, right? Because they hammered Dublin and we were all raving about them, and then they were beaten well by Galway but with a decent performance. Then they beat Laois, not by an awful lot. Then they got hammered by Limerick and then they lost to Antrim. So they had a really kind of mixed bag in the league. So I don't know whether I'm on the... Brian Cody said after the game, Offaly are going to be a serious threat to anyone in the championship, and he knows more about it than me. I'm not quite on the Offaly or there yet. Like, in the sense that Wexford, we knew Wexford were getting there, whereas I'm not necessarily there with Offaly.
They're probably not as far as down the road as Wexford, but they are going the right direction, to be fair to them, you know. Whether it's important for a league, basically, look, Offaly were never going to win the league, but to finish off the league and the performance was huge for them. That would give them savage confidence now for the next 3 or 4 weeks training for this Leinster league there as well, and they'll be up for a fight with that. There's no doubt about that as well. But Fizzly, big team as well, and they're after finding a couple of good hurlers as well. In fairness to them,
they have. And Kevin Martin said after the game, "We're just trying to get them to release themselves so they're all well able to hurl, because." This is interesting. They've been in a box the past 3 years and they've been afraid to express themselves. So it was a nice little dig at past three managers. It's your man from Waterford. I can't think of his name now. Anyways, well, Ryan, is it? Something Ryan? Anyways, I'll think of it in a second. But it's a bit of a dig at past managers, and... You know, if the trick is to come into Offaly and just say, "Here, lads, express yourselves." There's no hidden secret here.
But it's good for the Offaly players to see that him backing the players up there as well. I know it's a dig against the other management, alright, but again, it's to say, right, yeah, you can go out and hurl there and just believe in your own ability, and especially with the performance they had like yesterday and the crowd getting behind them again. I suppose they probably played in Tullamore over the last 3 or 4 years, and again, the crowd didn't get behind them, but the players didn't give the crowd a reason to get behind them there either. So it's huge for both supporters and players to be going in on a high to finish off the league. And I know they did lose, but the finish on a performance is what they'll be looking to achieve now coming into the Leinster League as well.
Kevin Ryan, that's who I was trying to think of there. Kevin Ryan, that's who is the past manager. So he's definitely getting a little bit of a dig out of him. Yeah, so be interesting to keep your eye on Waterford. Maurice Shanahan sending off. That was a moment of madness, a real strange one. And like, I mean, off with the helmet, taps the referee and went off, almost didn't even plead his case. Yeah, like, what the hell was he thinking here? Slapping
only on thing he could defend him is that he did get a slap himself, but just right before he reacted, but the centre back was on the ground and he hit him on top of the head. So look, he had no arguments. He tried to, a few of the Cork lads came in and he tried to get in an argument with them now, just to try and bring one of them lads with him, I'd say, you know, more than anything. But once the referee called him onside, he knew he was gone, you know. But look, again, that kind of swung the whole decision for the Cork Watford come back into the game at that particular time. But Cork finished off the game and Mark Coleman went back sweeper and he cleared him out the ball and a fantastic player, and he cleared a mountain of ball, but then he just kind of gave Warwick too much to do in the end.
We said last year that Coleman is an outstanding sweeper. Mm. He is everything.
Yeah, he's very calm in the ball.
Yeah, very calm, great distribution and a good hurling brain. Yeah. He's got everything needed to be a good sweeper. Yeah. He's just such a good wing back, we were saying, remember last year, whether they'd actually put him there as a sweeper. Austin Gleeson was out, Kevin Moran was out, and Conor Gleeson was snowed in. Did you hear that? Which is one of, it's almost like the dog ate my homework here. I can't
they
go.
They tried to get a tractor and trailer up the drive and all, they couldn't get him out, you know.
This is St. Patrick's Day now. Back in the 90s, you would be very suspicious if you were snowed in on St. Patrick's Day, wouldn't
you?
Lads get away with it now because there's obviously an awful lot more trust. But like, I mean, I was watching a bit of this game. It was a dull enough kind of a game, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I think Cork took over midfield area, whereas Waterford would look to that kind of area as their dominance, to Jamie Barron, all these guys running from midfield and breaking the lines, breaking the opposition half back lines. But Darragh Fitzgibbon there and Bill Cooper were fantastic. I think 6 or 7 points between them from midfield, absolutely phenomenal platform for them. They weren't even scoring, but they were kind of breaking through the Waterford defence, and they were laying off a lot of scores there as well. But that was the platform for Cork, and maybe they're after showing a few teams a template of actually how to break down Waterford. You have to win that midfield area, and Cork dominated that, and they looked very, very comfortable. Even, you know, Waterford did come back in the second half, but then the sending off came on. Mark Coleman, as you said, went back his sweeper, and he just cleaned up then after it.
Yeah, no, that was it. And look, to be honest with you, I think Cork, with a new management, probably needed to stay in Division 1 more than Derek McGrath. Derek McGrath said, I think, in an interview after the match, I won't be here next year. I don't think he meant it in a bad way, but like, I mean, it is his last year.
Yeah.
And if this is the way he thinks Waterford need to go to be peaking towards the end of the year, this is what he's decided. And look, he won't be around. And is it the end of the world for Waterford next year being in 1B? Absolutely not. Galway are there.
Yeah.
So they'll have the Galway test. They'll have a quarter final.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, you know, and Offaly are on the way back up.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean,
it's
not the end of the world.
The
only thing you might
be
worried about is the Now, you see, it would affect their confidence if they put so much into this.
Yeah.
But if they're constantly saying in the dressing room, lads, this isn't the end of the world, I don't think even their confidence is going to be.
I wouldn't say it is, because, again, they have their short term, long term plans for the year, and a short term would have been, look, obviously stay in the league if you can at all, but look, if you go down, you go down, as simple as that. There's no problem. Once we're competitive, he kind of came out after a couple of games, he targeted a little Kenny game, and he didn't get a response, which he was disappointed in right now, but he got a reaction at the game after that. But no, I wouldn't say that. The players are well aware. I'd say Dermot McGrath and his management team are a very open management team. They wouldn't be keeping all the secrets away from the players, so he'd have the plan in place there for all the Waterford players, and once they know exactly what they're doing, it wouldn't affect their confidence.
Yeah, really. Thing about Waterford is, quickly before we move on, is I think they hadn't scored a point from play in 35 minutes or something. Now, when you look at Shane Bennett leaving that team, and you look at Austin Gleeson going back into the backs, now he wasn't playing the other day, they're arguably your two best forwards on different lines, your centre half forward and your best kind of man in the full forward line gone. So like, Waterford, unless they fix this and get Bennett back, Gleeson can't play in the backs when they're down Bennett, you know what I mean? I don't understand that switch back there when they're already down one of their best
fellas. It's unusual. Obviously, he has his own reasons for not committing to the year. I think he might be going travelling or something later on in the year, but I'm not sure. But yeah, Derek was open enough to say he did ask him back, and he had a couple of conversations with him. But again, if this guy's head's not in it, you have to go with what you have.
Yeah.
You'd be hoping like the likes of Patrick Curran or Stephen Bennett might step up to the mark. Stephen got a couple of nice scores, all right, but they're going to need that. So Mark Shannon was brilliant 2 years ago at the focal point in the full forward line. Shane Bennett was going to take over from Morris there, because again, as we've seen what Morris was doing last year, he was only coming on for 20 minutes bar the Ireland final, where he had to come on when Shane got injured. I don't think there's 70 minutes in Morris, so they're going to have to find, is Stephen Bennett going to step up to the mark in being that target man eater? Is Tom Devine going to find his form of last year's league before he went off travelling again? So he was a handful now, Tom Devine in there, and fairness to himself and Owen Cadigan had a very good battle as well, but they need to get guys in around him, like, because if he doesn't win the ball straight away and turn his man, he can get bottled up, and there's two markers on him straight away. So that's one big question he'll have to answer for the league now.
Yeah, I think Waterford have a lot of question marks, because does Patrick Curran start? And if he starts, he doesn't run around the lines like you know, Shane Bennett and Jake Dillon. You nearly have to change your system if you're going to start Patrick Curran. Yeah, but do they need to start him now that Bennett and Gleeson's in the backseat? There's a lot of question marks around him, even though you know, I know they're not reading much into the league. but instead of finding fellas, it's almost like, how are they going to, you know, the things they're experimenting with, how is this going to mash together?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how way to work out, especially the first game in the Munster Championship is going to be huge for them to see exactly what they're going to do, because last year they probably did target league a lot and then they came out and they had a lot of a break before the Championship hurling, so they'll probably go back to the clubs now away for a few weeks and then go back in training for the Munster Championship. But he has a headache now at the moment to see. He'd rather have a couple of performances on his belt. Fair enough, the results can go his way, but performances which he didn't really get consistently over 70 minutes, so he's going to be a lot of questions with that. But again, he has time to rectify that.
Yeah, no, he's loads of time. Alright, up next we'll take a look back at that brilliant game in the Gaelic Grounds.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. Beans. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. Beans. Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
Yeah, so we left the chat out about this game, JJ, until this section, because the game down in the Gaelic Grounds was absolute sensation. The game that never ended. we have a man with some local knowledge, Shane Dowling, on the line as well. Shane, how's it going?
Good, Colin, how are you?
All good, all good. Come here, we're going to talk to you about that All-Ireland Club Final, because that was another beyond unbelievable game, like with extra time. Like, I don't know how you do it down in Limerick, but in fairness, it's been a great weekend for Limerick hurling in that... Like, I know you didn't get over the line, but it was a really good performance. And then you have Limerick inter-county team without the Napiershig fellas putting in a performance like that yesterday.
Yeah, it could have been a fantastic weekend for Limerick, but we just didn't get over the line, unfortunately. It was two mad games of hurling. I don't know what it is, it's just a down Limerick between Napiershig and Limerick, because even the last day against Schlachtneid, our poor parents and supporters could be taken in with heart conditions, I'd say, by the end of the campaign, because we really don't make it easy. But listen, it was what it was. We put up a very good show. 3 points off going to the last puck of the game. Possibly could have been more. It was unfortunate we didn't get over the line, but then again, you're playing the reigning All-Ireland Club champions in their own town, so it's never going to be easy. But listen, it was an All-Ireland final, we didn't lose, and it's been fixed for this Saturday evening now again. So no, we really are looking forward to now, and there's been a great buzz around the place, and because to get a chance playing two All-Ireland finals in 1 year is few and far between. So we're just looking forward to it again, and it's great that we could have won, it's great that we didn't lose anyway.
Yeah, no, so we might as well talk about that one first then. You were a bit emotional. The cameras picked you up on the field coming off after it, Shane. Was that disappointment or was it just pure exhaustion?
A bit of both, I suppose. I suppose, listen, from my own point of view there, I had the chance there to put us four up, and that probably would have been the icing on the cake. And that was just disappointing from my own point of view. But initially that's what it was, disappointment on my own behalf. But when you look back, there's probably 100 different scenarios throughout the game, and that just happens to be one at the end. So like I said, it was what it was. It was disappointing, but at the same time, we still had a chance to we still had plenty of other chances to wrap the game up, and we didn't do it. So it was, while everyone was obviously exhausted, and geez, the two teams gave absolutely everything, and the fact it was so cold as well, it was hard to ride the ball, and there were so many rocks in the game as well, and I believe that was probably from players not being able to put ball at the hand or get it up at the first attempt, which caused a lot of rocks, and it caused a lot of people having a lot of work rate around the field. So it was definitely a very, very tough, demanding game to play in, but it was fantastic with a great buzz and a fantastic atmosphere. But it was a bit of a definitely disappointment, but exhaustion was probably another fair enough word as well.
So how difficult was it to get that free miss out of your head then?
Yeah, listen, it happens. I mean, I've hit hundreds and thousands of frees, and it was just one. Do you know what I mean? It was a cold day, it was a windy day, it was a difficult day. Now David Tracy could have the same excuse if he missed his one of the last fuck as well. But it's one of them things. And just listen, no doubt I'm hitting him again Saturday, and it's just, you just park and move on. It's like any golfer or tennis player or whatever the case may be. One bad stroke or one bad shot doesn't really make a whole lot of difference, so we'll just go again.
Because it looked like you were kind of cruising to a victory then, wasn't it? Like, it was almost like you just didn't see a goal coming for Kula, and you know, it was just the last puck of the game, obviously, that they got that free, but like, it didn't look like there was any way back for Kula at the end of normal time.
No, it probably didn't, and the game ebbed and flowed on so many occasions, and no different to the game yesterday. Like, early on, we looked, I suppose, I don't know, it was nervous, the right word, we hit a lot of white, they seemed to be all over us, and we were with a strong breeze as well, and they went 2 or 3 points up, and just before half-time, we came back, and then we got a goal after half-time, they got 3 or 4 points in a row, and they were on the front foot, and then we ended up going, you know, then three points clear, and it looked for all the world that we were going to go on and win, and it didn't look as if they were going to get a goal. Our back line had been so solid all day, and it was just, you know, one of them unfortunate things. And if you played that the last minute over another 10 times, you could have got, you know, 10 different results. But it was just unfortunate. It was a good strike. It was sickening to see it at the back of the net, but it was good when you look back, and really the position that we were in was very positive, and that's what we'll be looking at going forward, is that at least we put ourselves in that position, and you know, obviously we'll be trying to do it again the next day.
Yeah, exactly. So psychologically, what's it like being in the dressing room after full time, after just tasting victory and then a late goal? Like, I mean, how does the manager get you back going there? I suppose just pointing to the positives, in that maybe he had a lot more scores from play than them, and you played really well. But I'd imagine the dressing room has a lot of fellas with their heads hanging. It's just a natural reaction after something like that.
Yeah, it's funny you say it as well. Some of us that were there in 2011 or 2012, when we played Lochiel Shamrocks in the All-Ireland semi-final, they were all over us for the whole game. We'd never had a chance of winning, and Kevin Downs got a last minute, last second point to draw the game, and we went into extra time jumping around the place. The momentum was on our side, and Lochiel were going in with their heads between their legs, like, you know, couldn't believe that they hadn't finished the game out, and we came out, and I really believed that we were going to go to the All-Ireland final that year, and they just came out and blew us out of the water. So it was a lesson I never thought I'd have to learn, like, you know, be positioned that we were in. But it was like that. Like, we went in after the game being more or less taken away from us, and Kula would have went in, you know, on the tops of their toes and ready to go again. We're an experienced team, even though we're a young team, we're an experienced team, and a lot of us have been around the block for a number of years now. So at the end of the day, it was an All-Ireland final. You still hadn't been beaten, and you still had a chance of winning, and that's the attitude we took. We had no other choice but to take that attitude. Kula are too good a side to be thinking otherwise. So even that might have seemed as you'd have been dejected going in, it wasn't really that hard to motivate yourself again and go at it for whatever was left. There was only 20 minutes of hurling left at that stage.
Yeah.
You were training for 12 or 13 months, so there was going to be plenty left in the tank.
That's an interesting one, JJ, in that almost maybe Kula in the dressing room half celebrating, and maybe they're not, they're actually losing their focus by getting that last winner, because there's jubilation in their dressing room. It must be maybe difficult maybe to calm them down rather than the other way around.
Like, it's such a weird feeling to be in, like, after 65 minutes, or have mentally in your own head, one team is going to win, one team is going to lose. But again, I suppose their disappointment, the two teams who drew the match would have been disappointed straight away. But then I suppose you ask the lads, they would have woke up the next morning, geez, we're still in Ireland final, another opportunity to play Ireland final again. You take with both hands, and then your kind of negative thoughts there that happened straight away after the match would actually turn to positives, and then you're actually living the week coming up to Ireland again. It's a fantastic place to be, and the two teams are in a fantastic place as well, that all this week that everyone's going to be talking about this game and looking forward to the next game as well, and to play two All-Irelands in a week is a fantastic opportunity, you know.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. You usually have to wait 3 weeks after,
three
which
weeks,
is really dragging the arse out of it altogether.
Yeah.
The two fellas I feel great for, Shane, are the two fellas that got suspended for the final the first time. Like, I mean, if there was anyone in the dressing room after the game that was in a good mood, it was probably those two.
Yeah, I was actually slagging Dave Boylan, he's our doctor, obviously, it's his son Conor got sent off inside the dressing room before, and I was slagging saying if Napiershi were a pint up with a minute to go, he'd be nearly praying for Coola to get an equaliser. but it wasn't too far wrong, but no, he'd have liked if maybe that last free hit the crossbar or something. But no, you'd have to be delighted for him. They're two young lads, 20, 21 years of age. And I suppose, listen, Connors was very, very soft with the red card, possibly a bit of a kick or whatever. And Tommy tickled around with the hurling. There was more than tickling that went on yesterday, and no one got sent off as well. But going by the rule book, there were both red cards going by the rule book, I suppose. And, you know, I saw it myself firsthand, missing the Munster campaign and nearly missing the All-Ireland semi-final, how hard this is. Out, you know, we're just not made for that. It's one thing if you're dropped or you're not playing or you're a sub and you know you have a chance of coming on. It's another thing when you know you could be playing and you can't. It's a very, very harsh lesson to learn. And even Tommy's dad works in the local hotel there across the road, the Greenhills. And, you know, I met him once or twice there, and he was, you know, visibly upset as well. Or that, you know, it's very hard. It's not just for the boys themselves; it's for their families and everyone. Obviously, if we won. You know, everyone would have been delighted. But no doubt the boys in the back of their minds, they're ready to go now and they're absolutely delighted. And the funny thing is, they've been training away, they've been working as hard as anyone for the last couple of weeks as well. So it's not as if they were drinking pints, or if they kind of threw their hat at it knowing that the year was over. They really put their head down and they were very positive. And it's lucky they have been now because, you know, they're going to be badly needed the weekend as well.
Yeah, you mentioned there that you missed the Munster Championship with injury. They're not making it very easy on you, sticking you in midfield for a game with extra time. Like, I mean, that must be difficult getting back to the pitch of that game physically.
Yeah, not to hang your own over, but I actually wasn't midfield at any stage.
It looked like it was.
Yeah. The way the game was played, the way cool it played.
So you were centre forward. Right, okay.
No, I was half forward for the first 60 minutes, but it's just the way they played their running game. You went up, actually, what you're trying to say there, Willie, is you're very impressed with my work with that.
I was.
You
were still going at the end. You knocked the lad out over the sideline and celebrated, kind of like Brendan Bugler style there. So you were still going well at that stage.
Yeah, no, as I said, for the first 60 minutes now, for the extra time, I was actually placed in the full forward line. But it's so hard to stay in there because you look 20 yards out ahead and you see a spare man. You can't have a fella that far close to his own goals free. Like, so you just end up drifting out and picking him up. And then one of the boys make a run and you see another fella free. And you just have to keep going to mark the person that's close to goals. So that's just the way they play. But I had been playing midfield for a lot of it up until I got injured. But as you said, they have been missing so long to play midfield in Croke Park and the All-Ireland final day. You need to have a lot of work behind you, and I didn't have that at all. But, you know, I have another 80 minutes behind me now, as does, you know, Peter Case, who got his appendix out at Christmas and missed a bit, as does David Dempsey, who had an injury. So it's very positive. A lot of lads that need a game time have had a lot of game time and more than a bargain for behind them. So that will, you know, stand great to the weekend as well.
Yeah, and just before we finish up on this, is you'll have learned a lot, because you're after mentioning how difficult it is to play against Coola, and I'm sure you can do all the tactical chat that you can do and the theory and looking at videos. You've now experienced what it's like. You know, you've got 80 minutes playing against that system, so you'll be much better prepared the next day.
Yeah, but, you know, like ourselves and our management team, no different to Cool, and their management team have obviously done a lot of work in how we play and how they play. But as you said, you can't beat actually going out facing it, because, you know, Cool are obviously a serious side, and, you know, we're obviously a decent side as well. So we probably wouldn't have met another team like us in the last maybe year or so. So you two very good hurling teams going at it. And you were nearly intrigued to see what they would bring or how good they were, because you're hearing a lot about them. But, you know, it's fair to say we know a lot about each other now, only after one game. So it's about who learned the most in the next few days and who recovered the most in the next few days, and it really does make for an intriguing replay.
Yeah, okay, and you're obviously, it's breaking just as we were talking here before we came on the podcast, is that the replay is on in Portlaoise on Saturday evening, so you only have to wait a week for the replay, which is really important. And I need to tell you that there's a really good tapas restaurant up the main street of Portlaoise, so I want you to tell all your teammates and girlfriends that you're more than welcome.
Yeah, it's sponsored, is it?
We'll have to do some sort
drop,
of a deal.
Drop his name, Shane. That's all you have to do, mate.
We'll have to do some sort of a deal, right? We'll fill the cup up with wine there. We've lots of wine, if that's any good for you.
Well, you'd have to speak to the cooler lad first, because they could be filling the cup up.
Well, that's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. Well, now, they wouldn't all be drinking. Conor Callaghan wouldn't be drinking or anything, wouldn't he? They don't celebrate. Anyways, listen, we want to talk about this game in the Gaelic grounds, because like, it was unbelievable, and like, at some stages Limerick were just hanging on, JJ. Like, I mean, 11-2 down, it took the Galan goal, which was a brilliant football style goal, and then he turns around and lashes a few clear lines out. But for some reason that sparked Limerick, who were absolutely, like, they were atrocious before that goal went in.
Yeah, well, they were unlucky with their shooting as well, to be fair. The great opportunities, unfortunately they were poking it away, but it was a huge score at that particular point, alright, you know what I mean. But Clare started off phenomenally. Tony Kelly picked off a couple of points there, and the ball was just breaking, and Tony was breaking and breaking the line, and he never misses off his left hand side there as well, and he had a fantastic start as well. And but no, that goal, it really did kick start him, and in fairness to Aaron Gillan, he was the focal point of the Limerick full forward in there as well. And but one thing that has to be said, and probably Shane would know better than anyone else, that the ball that they were hitting into Aaron Gillan was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
To work it to one side of the field and cross it over to the other side, and it's always at the forward's advantage. But if Aaron didn't win it himself, he held the ball up so the Calvary can come in and help him out there as well, like, you know, because he's probably in there again, two guys on his own, but he troubled Pat O'Connor to no end. He wasn't able to handle him, because Pat thought that the sweeper would have been in front of him, but he never actually tried and get out in front of Aaron, because Aaron would be strong in the air as well, like, you know, and he turned him out of the way for the goal there as well. So fair, and that was the first game I kind of properly looked at Aaron Glenn and said, geez, he's a very, very good prospect as well.
He didn't stick out to me, Shane, an awful lot. You probably know, well, you do know an awful lot more about him. He didn't stick out to me in the Galway game like he did yesterday. He really has a bit about him, and I'm not just talking about the shoulder and the clear lads after he got the goal. The goal he scored, like a tennis shot, the backhander. Like, I mean, he was always there yesterday and showed a bit of personality and a bit of leadership even yesterday.
Yeah, but I suppose it's like anything, you need someone to be able to stand up, don't you, in games like that. And obviously, you know, with Mary Oye and even with Patrick Swell, I've seen it firsthand, and you know, he's obviously playing very well, and as you said, there's a bit of cut about him as well. And listen, that's the way the game has gone. You need to have a bit of cut about you, because if you're a quiet boy and stand up and take, actually funny enough, I just saw Henry Shefflin's Laker Gael there the other night as well, or I had it taped and I watched it back, and he was saying some game he was marking when he was young playing Galway, and you know, he was getting it in his ear, and he was getting more borderline bullied, I suppose, is that the word you want to call it, and he just kind of, he was getting onto the ref, and he didn't do anything about it himself, you know, and it got to him, and he admitted it, you know. But you could see that, we'll just say, like, giving Aaron an example, that, you know, he stood up himself, with, and he dealt with all that himself, like, and, you know, the pulling and dragging that goes on and all that. I mean, there's only one way to answer that, and that is by sticking the ball in the back of the net, and you know, he done that yesterday. But as Jay just said there, like, you know, the ball that's going in, and that's a very important, I suppose, limit down through the years. If once you have the crowd behind you and you fire that ball into the edge of the square, you get the Limerick crowd going, but there's a small bit more than that now. It's very the ball that's going in is very good now. I haven't been there, obviously none of us have been there for the last number of months, but it's very evident to see, and it's great to see, and hopefully if and when I'm back in there or have some part to play in the next couple of months, you'll be hoping that the same thing happens, because it does make it easier. But you know, Limerick were very good yesterday in the forward line, and as JJ said, I was watching the match, obviously a couple of the boys there, and they were saying, geez, the wide are killing us. And funny enough, wide never bothered me, because what if you're hitting wide, does that mean you're getting on the ball and that the shots will come? And like, it was, I know Galway as well did a lot of wide as well, but that actually doesn't bother me. Once you're getting the shots, it means you're getting on ball, means you're going well, and obviously you just need to find that a small bit, and they wouldn't have been as far behind as they were, I suppose, after the first 20-25 minutes.
Yeah, there was loads of wides. I think they hit 6 wides in the first 20 minutes in that period, or 11-2 down. They hit 20 wides altogether. Like, I mean, it was erratic. Like, I mean, Morrissey and Flanagan, I mentioned Flanagan last week after the Galway game. He's such a brilliant target man, so hard to mark. But I don't think he's a great striker. I don't think Morrissey's a great striker. I'd see saw Flanagan turn down an opportunity for a pint on the 45 yesterday on his right side. It was almost like, I'm not even taking this on. He just knows his limitations, maybe, and that's the type of player that he is. He's a target man.
He is a target man. man, all right, yeah, but he runs a lot with the ball as well. And the way Limerick are playing, are probably going through the lines a lot more there as well. And when you get the ball to the half forward line, they kind of have to be able to break the opponent's half back line, and that's what they're doing. Yesterday, Gerard Hegarty was running at the lads there as well. So it was important to have not just one thing. You can't just stand there and win your own ball, but when you get it, you kind of have to work around and give the guy in the best position. And he obviously thought he wasn't in the best position himself. Maybe he thought that he didn't have as much time as he actually had, and maybe he snapped at it, maybe something like that as well. But no, there's encouraging signs there from Limerick there as well, to be fair. And a lot of lads stepped up to the mark. They were physically very, very strong there as well. Half forward line, it's a big, big half forward line there as well. And midfield, Keane Lynch, he was just kind of focal point. He was just he had the backs and the forwards taken away. He was always in the middle there, and he kind of, the flicks and the tricks he does is just it's unreal. He does things in matches where lads would even try and train, and it was a wet day yesterday, kind of damp, kind of wet day yesterday as well, and it flicks up into the hand and he's gone with the ball. And he's just, if you're marking him, you wouldn't expect him to do it, you know. And he just has it all in fairness.
He's done a lot of strength and conditioning work too. He's a big, strong looking fella now, isn't he, like in that middle field. But like, I mean, it's a kind of a modern style game plan, Shane. It's a very hard working half forward line who could pop up anywhere on the field, and like I said, it's trying to give good quality ball into a forwards and not be driving it down the sweeper's throat.
Exactly, that's what I was saying to you a few minutes ago as well. Like even in Pearson the other day, like the hard working half forward line, that's the way it's gone. It's a tough role to play. You're up and down them lines the whole time, and you're trying to get on the break of the opposition's puck outs, which means you're back in around your own 65. And so the trick then is trying to, like, there's a lot of times yesterday where because the half forwards were going very deep, that the clearance from the half back and they can often go to that person's marker. You just have to be that and more careful with it. And it was no different to Ovincroft Park on Saturday there as well. You have to be careful a lot more when a half back gets the ball. And as James said, they're playing through the lines. What happens then if a half forward is deep and his man doesn't follow is that he pops the ball off the half forward line. He could run with the ball in, and that gives him a bit of space and time then to try and perfect the ball into the full forward line. It's funny, but it's the way it's gone. If a halfback follows, you're leaving yourself exposed at the back. If he doesn't follow, it gives your man, I think Tom Morrissey, even against Galway, he had a load of possessions, like, you know, for picking up ball, and it's doing the right option with it after that then is the key to it.
That was the thing, because in the first half I noticed a couple of times, because Morrissey was going back, and obviously, you know, there was a few more going, or Garrod Hegarty was going back as well, there was a couple of clearances up to Davy Fitzgerald and McInerney when they were just standing spare JJ on the half back lines, you know. So that is just getting that thing right, where if you're not being followed, you know, you have to be very clever with how you use the ball.
Coming in from there, they did learn from that on the field themselves as well, because they started hitting Croftfield ball there as well, which is over the head of the sweeper. Because if you're on the left hand side, and the sweeper will always kind of go in towards the full forward line, but if you switch it over the other side of the field and it's over towards the forward's advantage, it's a huge thing for the forward, so he can actually hold up the ball and get it there rather than hitting it down the neck of it. But that's a good sign for Limerick that they were hurling with their head up, and any couple of mistakes, look, you're never going to have the perfect match, you're going to make mistakes, but they weren't repeating mistakes, which is a huge thing.
Yeah, so you're looking forward to getting back in there, Shane, or have you not really even had a chance to think about it? Because, you know, it's not like you actually have really important games. How can you balance letting Kylie know you're interested, but without giving him too much of yourself or giving you any of yourself at the same time?
Yeah, and again, I've said it a couple of weeks ago as well, it's a very difficult situation for John, but John has a job to do. We've got 34 players in there at the minute, and he's going ahead with them. And if, like, we've been there for the last number of years and couldn't get out of Division 1B, so maybe the Pearson players are the problem or something. But John, you know, he rang us the day after they beat Galway, and nothing about that match, just to see how we were, and wish us luck in the final. And like, John is a genuine Limerick man, and he was above in Croke on Saturday night, and he wanted, as much as anyone wanted to see, you know, a Limerick team walk up the steps to the Hogan Stand, because they had been few and far between. And like, he knows there's 10 of us in the panel at the minute, whether 10 of us are called back in or not, I suppose, is his own decision. And listen, he has a team there, he's a team that's after getting to a league semi-final, which no Limerick team has been able to do for a long, long time. So it's not going to be the case that maybe 7, 8, 10 of us go back in there and, you know, four or five of us just slot into position, it's going to be the total opposite, I believe, myself anyway. He's there back training since whatever it's been, November, so they have maybe five or six hard months of hard work behind them. And, you know, we are going to have to go in and prove ourselves. It's not a cliche, it's the reality. He's had people in there that he's been looking at for a long number of months, and he has seen very little of us, only for a handful of games. Of course, we can't wait to go back in there. It's great to be going back in there. You're only going to be 5 or 6 weeks from Championship. So it's going to be very intriguing, and we're going to have to show what we have to get back into the team. But it was, from our point of view, this year more so than ever, because of there's so many Championship games in such a short period of time. A lot of bodies are going to be needed, you'd imagine, especially going by the physicality that, you know, even the club match there on Saturday and the game again yesterday. So and it's great going back into a positive environment as well, because obviously things are going well there, and you'll be trying to just add to that a small bit then.
Yeah, it's going to have a serious squad, Limerick are, when everybody's back in the mix. It must be terrible, Shane, though, when you're saying, oh, we're going back in, and you think it would be you trying to get back in. Isn't it terrible that you're being punished and the 10 lads are being punished? Your inter-county careers are suffering because your club goes well. There's something not right about that. Why can't the club end in 1 year and then for you not to be punished the following year? Like, you know, coming back in to a team that's going really well and through no fault of your own just doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably not, like, as I said, and I'm generally not the same as, you know, ticking a box, but we have to go back in now, and we have to say, yes, John, I'm very interested in playing in your starting 15, but for me through that, everyone's going to have to perform. And punished, right word, but I can definitely see your point in that, you know, you're not getting a fair chance to play with your county because of you having a successful club.
Yeah.
And how unfair is it going to be if, just for argument's sake, you know, we go back in and, you know, you end up making a panel of 26, but you've got the person beside you who can't make the 26, and he's been training his butt off for the last 6 months, and he's just been pushed aside because there's a couple of more lads coming back in. So it's a very difficult situation. It's a situation that's difficult for John, difficult situation for players. I guess why the club can't finish in the calendar year. So the only thing there, if you do finish in the calendar year, you know, you're not going to be playing in good conditions, you're not going to be playing as in good pitches, really, like, you know. So there's pros and cons to it, but maybe to answer your question, I probably would be for having it in the one calendar year. There is a, you know, about getting to Croke Park and Paddy's Day, that's all the tradition is there, and it's fantastic. But to look at it from a player's point of view, you want every chance you have to play with your club, and of course to play with your county. And we haven't got that, through no one's fault, only the way the system is.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt about that. And even on that, JJ, is like, the Pearshig will be doing strength and conditioning, but they won't have done strength and conditioning since like the previous year. So
yeah,
there'll be Limerick level,
yeah,
lads will have been doing maybe a more scientific, no disrespect, yeah, in the Pearshig, but usually the sports science at intercounty level is a lot better. And the Pearshig lads will be coming in, they'll be doing the same strength tests and stuff, and they might not be on the same level. And like, it's just so unfair,
yeah,
that
just two teams are at different levels, you know. Obviously the Pearshig are looking to peak now. This is their final season now, so last probably 6 or 8 weeks they're looking to peak, semi-final, that's where you want to be at your best. And whereas, I suppose, the Limerick team, you're looking at it, they have a lot of work done, but they're not looking to peak now until the middle of summer, you know. So
yeah,
they're
on two different trajectories, different
things now, and it will take a bit of time for the Pearshig to come back in. But as I said, for John to look at this, it's a fantastic opportunity and fantastic place for him to be in, looking as a manager for Limerick at the moment, having very competitive squads, getting to a semi-final of a league, knowing you have 10 more strong hurlers come back onto your panel. And then you're trying to say to lads that are there, you the jersey now at the moment, it's up to you to hold on to it. But coming from a player's point of view that was on the panel, and you've seen the club players coming back in, it gives a huge boost, especially
if
the lads do go on and win it, and they have that winning mentality, and you're kind of saying, geez, yeah, I'd love to be in, experience what they've experienced, and then, so why can't we do it? We'll all do it there together, you know what I mean? And to bring a bond there as well, that it can be a huge advantage to a particular team there as well, once it comes in and the guys are working hard to get back into the panel. They're obviously very, very good, they're best club hurlers in Limerick this year as well, so they'll obviously get on the team if they work hard enough, they will, and I don't think any of the players will have an issue with that either.
Yeah, okay, no, fair enough. It can be a shot in the arm as well, right? We'll leave it there, lad. Shane, thanks very much for coming on the show.
No problem at all, Willie.
And the game takes on, can very, very often then take on a life of its own. what's tactics. I mean, you've got to make decisions and you've got to decide what you're going to do, and at the end of the day, you hand it over to the players and the players play, you know. The game was fast, was furious, it had everything really, you know, and you don't have too much influence on what's happening. What happened last year, it goes out the window, or the year before, or whenever it was. Tipperary, don't go away. The air is there. And the game takes on, can very, very often into a life of its own.
Performance of the weekend, JJ. First nomination for this has to be Tony Kelly. Yeah. And, like, I mean, it was 6 points from play and he was a sensation. And, like, it's very worrying for Clare to not win a game that he's in such good form in. Like, you know, like, I mean, you probably look at Clare and think that was an awful loss for them, considering how seriously they've taken the league, how strong a team they had out. Yeah. For them to lose that, and for them to lose it with Tony in flying form.
Yeah. I thought they actually had a one. They looked home and hosed maybe two or three different times, you know, coming out at the end of the, just the normal time, let alone extra time, you know. And it was just with Tony Kelly playing, he was absolutely phenomenal in the midfield, 6 points from play. But he got a lot of breaks off their half forward in as well. I think, man, Duggan either won a lot of ball or broke a lot of ball, and Tony is actually feeding off him. He's such a clever hurler, like, he knows where the breaks are going to go off of Peter Duggan as well.
So Brown had no interest in marking him at all.
No, he didn't. So I don't know whether you could keep up to him now, or just Tony was so quick on the break.
Tony was out under the terrace side an awful lot in the second half, and, like, he was just on his own.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, don't leave Tony Kelly on his own. I don't know much about hurling, but I would be fairly sure that I would know that.
Yeah, I suppose, again, with midfielders, the way things are going at the moment, they have to filter back, and half hours come in. Do they pick up their midfielder? We don't know what kind of tactics Limerick had, but if I was going against Clare now as well, you nearly have a man-to-man marker on the likes of Tony Kelly just to keep him quiet. Like, if you take his even half of them points out of it, you'll have a fair chance of a beating Clare team there as well. But it's just psychologically, he started well as well. When Tony starts games well, he's a very, very hard player to keep out of the game there as well. But he ended up with 6 points, but phenomenal, phenomenal player.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Like, I mean, Conor McGrath a pint and Shane O'Donnell a pint, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Gallan scoring 2.11. Now, I know he's on the freeze as well, but, like, there's just not, McGrath's lost complete form. Podge Collins has lost form.
Yeah, like, Podge came on now, and he had an outrageous bit of skill there as well, and won a couple of frees now, fairness to that.
I think he only was taken off for DC to get him on for the freeze, maybe. No, yeah, I didn't think Podge was doing that bad.
No, he actually came on and done fairly well. He was kind of buzzing around the place himself as well, and he kind of went down the line one stage and he tried to hand pass it over guy's head and go around and get it himself, but they lost the ball and Limerick went up and got a score off it. But
okay, so maybe that was spelled
something
the end of
like
it.
That, yeah, maybe. You know, small little things like that, especially that late on in the game, because saying, like, no, we'll put someone else back on. But
actually, DC came on for him in the 98th minute, so it was 2 minutes before the free, and DC's a free taker for Ballyea, so you'd imagine
he was the one that missed it, was he?
He was the one that missed, yeah, he missed the free, so that was but in that gas, because you often associate that with soccer, that you'll bring a penalty taker on late for the shootout. But I don't know what's wrong with that you look at Podge, you look at Conor McGrath. Like, Shane O'Donnell has been in great form in the league, so maybe throw him into that category.
He's a worker, in fairness. I mean, he probably fouled for 3 or 4 of them points that Peter Duggan got. I know Peter Duggan got about 19 points from 15 frees, 265, but probably a handful of them would have been Shane Donnell, a couple from Conor McGrath as well, but he would have probably won a lot of himself as well. But it's just again, coming up, John Conlon had a chance just before half time or for extra time, the first period extra time, to get the score goal. He hit on the right, that was on the left, he would have got a goal. He could have took his point, but he didn't. Then Nicky Quay stopped and went up the field, and Limerick got the free in to get it. That would have put him 4 points up, but then he went up and Dermot Burns scored the penalty as well. So small little things, they very easily could have won that game. And I'd say they're probably kicking themselves this morning looking back at that game, because they had 3 or 4 opportunities to see out the game and go on and win it.
They did look like, to be honest, Clare looked in control for a lot of that game, didn't they?
Didn't look
like they were going to lose it, really.
Started
at
3 or 4 points to no score, and then Limerick got a couple of points to end up to 11-2, and then Limerick got the goal after that. You know, that kind of way. So
still, it's their
should have been seen out. Like,
yeah, it's their full team, pretty much, against a team a Limerick team that is missing the 10 Apiarsaigh lads. Now, obviously, the 10 Apiarsaigh lads is ridiculous. Yeah. There won't be anywhere near 10 on it. There'll be many will be on it, 3 or 4 maybe.
Be 3 or 4 at most, yeah.
But still, like, that's 3 or 4 good players. You have Nash not starting for Limerick. Limerick are not at full strength.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got Clare, who targeting that league, couldn't beat them, who are operating in the division ahead of them. I think that's it's a big kick in the arse for Clare.
I'd say they'd be disappointed with the goal they conceded at the last minute as well, especially 21 yard free. The ball bounced in the 14, the keeper went down on his knees and it kind of bounced over his head. If he had stayed standing, they shouldn't really be conceding that.
That's two because Cool obviously got the last one of the game as well. And is there a new rule change and you can't line the goal anymore? How long is that in? You can only put 4 lads plus the goalkeeper on the goal
for 21, then you can put in
as many as you want.
Penalties just 1-on-1.
Are you sure about that? Why wouldn't
Appear? Just a few of them there on the line.
Was there?
Yeah, there was.
Well,
yeah,
Appearsick didn't have a good few on the line. I thought it was like the
goalie. Sometimes you can get each other's way as well. Like,
can you?
Yeah. Everyone is kind of going for the one ball. Everyone wants to stop it, and you actually hit the hurdles off each other and you miss it. You know,
so it makes sense not to have a whole lot of guys. Because I wouldn't line my whole 15. It's the last
But 4 or 5 now would be more than adequate. 6 maybe at most.
Would
to
it?
Be honest with you wouldn't need, because everyone just getting each other's way. Like, and the keeper should be out in front, and then you have your 4 or 5 backs behind him there as well.
Okay.
But again, you'd wonder, would you're best off keeping your keeper on the line then as well for that, because he's obviously the best shot stopper, and if he's 2 yards out, the ball could be unpassing before he realises it, you know. And which unfortunately happened to Clare keeper.
So that's usually the tactics. The lads will all line up with this keeper a step ahead of them, and he'd
always
want
to go in front. Yeah, keeper would always want to stop it anyway, because obviously that's his job. He wants to get out there, he'd be confident enough to stand out in front and stop it, you know.
And can ye all use the big boss?
You can pick up the big boss,
so the goalkeeper would have 5 of them in there for this situation arises, is it?
He would, yeah.
Okay, right, that's fair enough. Should really be stopping them then, JJ. when you've got 6 huge bosses like that lined up over your head. David Dempsey's another one performs at the weekend. Jeez, the extra time really suited him because he's a whippet, and I'd say he'd run all week. He's at the front of the Apiarsaigh runs. I'm predicting he is, even though I've never been at one of the training sessions. But a lovely kind of stylish kind of player, isn't he?
He just goes at the defender as well, which is an absolute nightmare for a guy, especially the extra time as well, when your man gets the ball and continuously runs and runs and runs at you. You're kind of saying, geez, give me a break here and try and pop a score or something like that, to just give me a kind of a small bit of break. But no, he's very, very direct and very accurate as well. Now, in fairness, he had a great game.
He was outstanding in the final. We have Peter Duggan, obviously, he's been mentioned. He got 19 points. He got 17 from frees, so he was outstanding at frees. 19 points sounds great, but like when you're knocking over other people's frees,
he won a lot of ball, a lot of puck outs. He went over on Sam Morrissey there, and he caught a lot of ball off him, and they had to actually bring Dermot Burns over on him just from the other wing just to kind of curtail him in the air. But he kind of, any long puck outs that Clare were going for, he were going to him, but apart from that, then we're just going all short, going to the halfback or the cornerback or the halfback and try and run it through the lines.
Yeah, okay, he's another one. Aaron Galan, who we've spoken about enough. I love that bit of cutting in him. My father always used to use that. People who are into the GA knows exactly what that means.
You don't need to explain anymore.
He's good cutting in him. It's one of the best compliments you'll get, you know. You're really nice
His
to have him.
His father was the same as him. He good cutting in as well.
Oh, you wouldn't lick cutting up off the ground. No, you have the cutting in you.
Has to be bred into, hasn't it?
We want to give Mike Casey a shout out for Apiarsaigh as well. Who kept Con Callaghan down to 1 point, and they kept Mark Shute down to 1 point from play as well, which is unreal. And it's almost a little bit worrying for Apiarsaigh that Shute and Con Callaghan won't score a point apiece the next day, probably. Yeah. You know, and even Con O'Callaghan missing that one.
Yeah, to the keeper.
I couldn't believe that. Yeah. He just doesn't do that kind of thing, you know. It was a reason.
When you got in his hand and he turned, you thought, like, this is definitely going over the bar.
I was actually thinking heartbreak for Apiarsaigh. Yeah. Heartbreak. And I couldn't believe it didn't go over. It's almost like you trust Conor Callaghan, he's so young, but you almost trust that he's like the Iceman.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. He's done that before as well in Kula and with the Dublin footballers as well. So, yeah, to see him, that opportunity front of the goal there as well, I didn't expect him to miss it, to be honest with you. But I'd say a lot of Apiarsaigh lads were happy.
Definitely. Colin Ryan gets a shout out as well for performance of the weekend. He scored 2 points from play when he came on, and a sideline, which is beyond belief.
That was going to be taken short.
Yeah. There was nothing on. I think it was Morrissey was standing over it looking for a quick one.
No one was there. He walked over.
I have this. I couldn't believe he stuck that over. So he's nominated as well. I think the winner for performance of the weekend has to be Aaron Galan. His football style goal was absolutely sensational. He single-handedly inspired Limerick back into that game, and his second goal, the backhander, is like Federer backhand. Yeah. It was so kind of, you know, out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Like,
I knew exactly what he was doing as well. Yeah, first touch, it flicked in.
Just relaxed. Did it relax? Yeah. Like, there was nothing major about this. He didn't fluster. It was just kind of nice.
He'd only
had
that second to do it as well, hadn't he? Because if he had a touch, took another touch on it, the keeper and the cornerback would have been on top of him as well. But he knew exactly what he was doing. Natural goal scorer.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And of course, he has that secret ingredient of cutting. So, Aaron Gillan, you are performance of the weekend. So, congratulations. And that's all we've time for. We'll be back this Thursday. Sure is Limerick Galway fixed for this weekend? Or
Galway.
Galway Wexford,
Tip in Dublin.
Oh, they're both on, right?
Right. Well, as far as I know,
we will have a hurling show this Thursday, I'm sure. Right, good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I should go. So it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.